We're glad to have Dr. Weaver preaching to close the service out and to close the conference. Dr. Weaver, of course, pastored Worth Baptist Church for almost 19 years. Under his leadership, our church gave millions of dollars to missions. And so much of the conference that you've enjoyed this week was birthed out of his vision. We've made a few very small tweaks over the years, but so much of it was birthed in Dr. Weaver's heart. He loves missions, and he loves missionaries, and I'm so glad he's here to preach. Dr. Weaver, come preach. Let's give him a welcome, folks.
This missions conference has really been a blessing to me. All of them are, but this one's been a blessing. And I hope that you will take something away from this conference. Don't be like some doctors and lawyers and a preacher I heard one time that were out hunting for deer. And so all of a sudden the deer showed up and they all three shot at one time. And so the doctor ran up to the deer and the lawyer hollered, "Who shot the deer?" The doctor said, "It was the preacher." He said, "How do you know it was the preacher?" He said, "Because the bullet went in one ear and right out the other." So don't let this conference go in one ear, right out the other. Let it get down to your heart, okay? Now take your Bibles and let's turn to Luke chapter 5. Luke chapter 5. And we'll read verses 1 through 11. The title of the message is Good People Asked to Go Further. Good people, godly people, we could say it tonight, Christian people asked to go further, to go a little bit further. Luke chapter 5, beginning with verse 1. And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, that is the same as the Sea of Galilee, and saw two ships, this is Jesus, standing by the lake. But the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. And when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, "Launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." And Simon answering said unto him, "Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net break. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and lifted both the ship and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, "Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, this is an interesting story that we see about Peter and some other fishermen that were there. And Jesus comes to this situation where he wants to teach on this lake, the Sea of Galilee, we would call it. Now, some observations I want us to see tonight about this. Number one is where you are right now in your life is probably where you should be. Where you are right now, you're probably where you should be. You're in the will of God, doing what God has called you to do. You remember that previously Peter had already been spoken to by the Lord earlier when he was called to be a fisher of men. And there were some others that were also called to do the very same thing. Now, they were not rebelling here on this occasion. That was something that had happened earlier. He said, I'm going to make you fishers of men, Matthew chapter 4. And so now something is taking place where God is going to deal with them to take them a little further. Many of you have been saved for years. You're not in rebellion against God's will tonight. At least I hope you're not. But it may be that God wants to take you from where you are right now and move you out just a little bit further to get you more involved, to get you to do more than you're doing. And here they were fishing, not out of God's will. You know, Peter surrendered to God's will a number of times, not just one time. You read about it. He surrendered to God's will a number of times, and so did some of these others. And so it is that even though you and I get saved and we say, Lord, I'm yours and I'll do what you want me to do, there are times later in our life where God moves in our hearts, moves in our lives and says, I have something else for you to do. And then we have to surrender to that again. We have to do that. And I got saved as a 9-year-old boy, but I didn't get called to preach until I was a teenager. But I had to make another surrender to the Lord at that point to do what God told me to do. And so this was what they were doing. They were doing what they were supposed to do, but God speaks to them. Now, even though you're doing what you're doing right now, a lot of times that's not where God wants you to stay. It isn't right to stay there. What is he doing here to these men on this occasion? You'll see as we go through these verses that he is actually calling them into full-time service. And when he had already spoken to them, he said, you're going to be a fishers of men. And everybody who's saved ought to be fishers of men. Everybody who knows the Lord should be fishers of men. That's a general call that is for everybody. It's very generic. But here is something a little more specific. They were called here to a lifetime of full-time service to follow the Lord. A new challenge and a new vision that these needed. Peter, James, Andrew, and John were all involved in this. This quartet of already being disciples. But they were called to a lifetime of service. You know, it's a great moment when God moves you out of your comfort zone and calls you to do something else or to do more. It's a great thing. I remember when I got called to preach. It was a great thing for God to call me to preach and for me to surrender to His call. What a wonderful day that was in my life where I surrendered to the call of Jesus Christ. And so what He's asking them to do, look at verse 3. He entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and he prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Jesus is teaching. What do you think he was teaching them? I think he was teaching them the gospel. I think he was telling them, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And if you've been there and seen the Sea of Galilee, you know there are places where it slopes down like an amphitheater, and Jesus could very well come from that shore as they were pressing him. Verse 1 said, it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake Gennesaret, and he went into the boat. He said, I need your boat. I'm going to teach these people. And I think he was preaching the gospel. So what he's saying to them is, push off a little bit. Let's get off the shore here. They were mending their nets. If they didn't dry their nets and clean them and let them dry, they would mildew and they would rot. And so they were doing a good thing when they were doing this. But he said, get out of your comfort zone. I want you to do something else. And you know, God calls us a lot of times, get out of your comfort zone. We get in a comfort zone so easily. We as born again, saved, fundamental Baptists get into a place of complacency. It's very easy to do, to get very complacent about the world and about souls and about serving God. It gets so routine. We get on the dry rock of complacency. We come to the place where we're like the church at Laodicea, where we are lukewarm, and God is not pleased with our lukewarmness, and He wants us to move out a little further, to get a little more involved, to be more dedicated to the Lord, thrust out. And so their calling was a calling that God gave them into full-time service. And let me tell you something. If God's speaking to you tonight to go into full-time service, and even to the mission field, part of that, then you ought to do it right now. Why waste all those years? You hear testimonies of missionaries who say, I fooled around for 2 or 3 years or 3 or 4 years, and then I went ahead and surrendered. God had to whip me and chasten me. Well, why go through all that? Why don't you just surrender and do what God tells you to do? Just get on with it, because God's able to handle it. And why fight the calling of God? Now, I'm not putting down those missionaries. I'm just saying you might as well go ahead and do what God calls you to do and get busy serving. And if He's speaking to you in a generic way, He says you ought to serve me somewhere, do it. And you ought to give more, do it. Just listen to the voice of God and do what God says to do. Now in verse 4, what does He tell him to do? He goes out in the ship a little ways, and now when he had left speaking, he got through preaching, he said unto Simon, I don't know if Peter was listening real good or not, but anyway, he gets his attention. He says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. He says, I have something better than where you are right now. I wanted to move you out a little ways, but we want to go out even further, and I want you to listen to me and obey my voice. Launch out and let down. First, a little bit, and now go out further, and that takes faith. Peter, you're going to have to trust me on this, and God told him to do that, and he did it. By the way, true fishermen never quit. He's going out to do what God told him to do. Now, second observation I see is that we are the source of God's shortfall. Did you know that God needs some things? You say, wait a minute, now God's omnipotent. Does He need anything? Well, God needed a ship right here, didn't He? I mean, Jesus was God, was He not? He said to Peter, I need your boat, and let me get in your boat and teach from your boat. He needed that to be able to teach. And so He did that because of the convenience of doing that. And there were other ships around there, but He wanted this. And He said, I want you to go out. I want you to move out. I want you to catch some fish. May I remind us all tonight that the Lord has needs in our lives, and God needs us to serve Him. God needs us to step out. God needs us to do what God wants us to do. He needed those ships. The Lord hath need. There are places in the Bible where the Bible tells us and reminds us that the Lord had need. One time Jesus said, I need that donkey. Go get me that donkey. And they went and told him, the Lord has need of your donkey. And he says, who wants the donkey? He said, the Lord has need of your donkey. So he took the donkey and gave it to him. And Jesus rode in to Jerusalem on that occasion. There were other times, many of them, I don't have time to talk about it, but one time a little boy had 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Now, God could have created all of that, but He asked if anybody there had anything, and He took that and multiplied it and used that. The Lord hath need, and the Lord needs you tonight. You say, I can't believe the Lord needs me. That's His plan. That's His plan, that He would use us to get the job done that He wants done in missions and any other area of our lives. So the Lord needs you. What does He need? Well, He needs your silver. He needs your money. He needs your substance. See, I like the way we do missions here, and the pastor touched on it in Sunday school. I remember being in a mainline denomination, and in that mainline denomination, we never met missionaries. We seldom ever met them. And there might be a home missionary, and the home missionary was usually a missionary that had retired and come home off the field, and they sent him to meddle in the business of some of the local churches around there. I can remember one of them who came and said, y'all don't need to visit over in that area of town because so-and-so has a church over there. So-and-so over there may be lazy, may not be fulfilling the Great Commission. And that's really none of their business to fool around with a local church anyway. But we know that many times we have to relook at our missions giving and the way it is done. And I had to come to grips with that in my life, where I realized that that was not the best thing to do, send that money into denominational headquarters and a big percentage being taken out for fat salaries of people that were there in those offices. And I'm not saying they don't do some good, but why take that which is less than the best when we can do what the Bible says and do the best? And Acts 13 tells us the best way to do it. And that was that local church where Paul was and Barnabas, and when they went out from the local church, and that local church supported them, and they came back later on and gave a report to that church of what was being done. There was accountability. There was involvement. We say sometimes, well, God has given me more money, and wow, what a blessing. And God may say to you, no, what a test. That God gives you more money and God blesses you. And God doesn't do it just so you can have a good time, friend. He wants us to be good stewards of what He gives us. And so He's telling us that we're to move out and to launch out into the deep. God actually needs your substance and your money. That's His plan. God also needs your seed. Parents, listen to me. If God puts His hand on one of your children to go to the mission field, thank God for it. Don't fight it. Don't try to talk them out of it. You might want to be sure they're sure, but don't fight it. Don't try to talk them out of it, because there's some seed, some of your seed, right in this church that God wants to call to go to the mission field. And I have seen parents who have been obstructionists about the things of their children going to the mission field and preparing, because they had plans for them to be a doctor, a lawyer, a dentist, or whatever it was they wanted them to be, and they didn't think it was really a great credit to them in the way they had raised them for them to go to the mission field. Friend, that's a high calling of God. And God wants our silver, and He wants our seed. He wants our children. And God wants to call missionaries out of this church. And may I suggest to you too, it doesn't need to just be teenagers and young people. And I saw some of them stand up a while ago. But there's some of you couples, if you would just really pray about it and think about it, God would take you and use you on the mission field. If you just surrender your life to do it, it's not just young people. God will use many of you. And may I just plug it here, right here. Go on a short-term missions trip. Now, I'm hoping, Pastor, you know, and I'm sure you are too, that on some of those trips, God's going to get a hold to their heart and call them into full-time service. I've heard you say that. And that's what we want to see done. God wants us to do that. And so, that's a good thing to do. The Lord hath need. Now, it's another thing I see. It's okay to argue with God, but it's not okay to win. All right, look in verse 5. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. You see, Peter was thinking like this, perhaps, like many of us do, logically. Not faith, but logically. And he was saying, well, Jesus, you're a carpenter. Now, I'm a fisherman. I've been fishing for years. And I know what fishing's all about. And we fished all night. And that's when you catch a fish over there, by the way. And somebody asked a guy who was catching some fish. And they said, this is Peter's fish. He said, you really? Was that some of the fish that Peter had? He said, no, that's some of Peter's children. You know, some of Peter's fish's children that you're eating. And I had one of those over there. But here's the thing that we have to see in it. And that is, we don't argue with God about it. And he's looking to Jesus and saying, I know how to fish. And we fish in the nighttime. We don't fish in the daytime. And this was probably in the daytime, for the people were out there in the daylight. And so he's saying, in essence, are you really sure? Are you really sure? And here's the key to what he did right here. It's a great word called faith. It's a word called faith. Simon answering said to him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. You see, that's all you and I need to know is what does God say do, and then do it. If he says let down the net, go out a little deeper, then go out a little deeper and let down the net. Obey what he says. If he says pray more, then you ought to pray more for missionaries and for other things. Many of us could improve our prayer life, couldn't we? We must be disciplined to do that and to pray for missionaries. I hope you pray for our missionaries. We list them in a book. You can go through that book. And you have one for Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And I mark mine, and when I pray for them five times, I put a line in it. And then when I pray for them five more times, I put another line in it. I just like to know I've prayed for them. But when God says spend more time in prayer, in your prayer life, you ought to do it. It shouldn't be anything you argue about and lose the argument. If he says increase your Bible reading, you ought to do that. Most of us could increase our Bible study. We spend a lot of time on television, iPhones, iPads, Facebook, tweeting and twisting and everything else, whatever it is. All those things. I get lost in all that mess after a while. But we spend so much time in that. Friend, we ought to spend some time in Bible reading, and God is calling us, launch out into the deep, get in the Word. Look, if you get in the Word, you're going to be missions-minded. You spend time in the Old or New Testament, you're going to be missions-minded. God says, increase your witnessing efforts. We need to go out and tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of us can be reprimanded from time to time, but that we must go out and witness and be bold and not be ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. The reason we don't witness when God tells us to witness, generally speaking, is pride. We don't want them to think that we're kooks. We don't want them to think that something's wrong and we've got a loose nut. Well, I'll tell you, I may be a loose nut, but I'm screwed on the right bolt. Amen? We need to tell them about Jesus. You say, well, that's for you, preacher, and that's for all the staff, and that's for the deacons. No, friend, that is for you. God is calling you to be fishers of men, and it works. You saw a man today walk the aisle. He got saved yesterday. The way he got saved was we told him how to be saved. He got saved. There are people out there, but we need to witness, and we need sometimes to increase our giving by faith. Some of you perhaps participated in faith giving. Some of you maybe didn't this morning, and you may struggle with that, but I'm telling you, one of the best things you can ever do is give by faith, and you will experience the mighty power of God supplying your need. You give to get to give, not to keep. And God will always take care of it. We are the source of His shortfall. And then another observation, I've got to rush these. Realize the job can't be done alone. Look at verse 6. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net break. They were overwhelmed. Well, one of the things was he told them to let down their nets, plural, and they didn't listen. They let down one net, and that creates problem. But you ought to let down your nets, plural. And they maxed out. They needed help. They had filled both ships. And sometimes when you do God's will, doing God's will get you in trouble. Look at verse 7. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships so that they began to sink. Do you understand what was happening? They were sinking. And when you sink out there, you just might drown. And so they had a problem. But they were doing what God told them to do. But the job couldn't be done alone. And by the way, in verse 11, they made it to shore safely. Amen? They made it to shore safely. Note this, that not doing God's will get you in worse trouble than if you do God's will. You may encounter some problems when you step out and do God's will, but they'll be good problems. But if God calls you and God lays something on your heart and God speaks to you and you rebel and you say no, friend, you're going to have a lot more problems. I don't have time to tell you some stories of some people who were in rebellion against God's will when God called them to go to the mission field, and they put it off and put it off and put it off. And when they got old, they wept and cried in services like this because they did not yield to God's calling earlier. And they would cry out and say, I wish I had. I wish I had yielded. I wish I had gone when God spoke to my heart. And they had sometimes a lot of heartaches and tragedies come as a result of that. You see, rebellion to God's will, whatever it may be, is sin. It's sin. You say, I'd never commit adultery. Great. But if God called you to go to the mission field, would you reject that and not go? Then that's a sin. It's equally a bad sin, as bad a sin as the other. Refusing God's call. Failure to tithe is a sin. I mean, that God said do it, so just do it. You say, well, I don't think it's a sin. It is a sin. Will a man rob God? Would you rob God? If you don't tithe, give 10% of your gross income, and these people argue, is it gross or is it net? You know, give God gross, for goodness sake. God gave you His best, didn't He? So anyway, Jesus was in the boat. That's something we've got to remember. Look at verse 8. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. You see, Jesus showed him something, and that he was in control of everything. And I think somehow Peter realized here in a very refreshing way, and maybe for the first time really deep in his heart, that Jesus was God, the Lord of all things, that He controlled all the fish, and if He said the fish were to fill it up. Now, the liberals say he saw a school of fish, and he rushed over there and sent Peter and them over there right quick to catch that school of fish. I wish that worked every time. It doesn't work every time. I've tried that. But that wasn't what it was. It was the Lord God Almighty in charge of all the fish, in charge of the ocean, in charge of nature, in charge of the lake of Gennesaret. Jesus was God. And so Jesus is in the boat, and He called them to come and help. And God wants to use us to do that. Now, if He calls us to do something, He's with us. And here's the problem, I think. Notice what Peter did. What did he do? He worshiped Jesus. He fell down. He fell down on his knees and fell at Jesus' knees, and he said, depart from me, I'm a sinful man. He was worshiping Jesus. He was saying, I'm so unworthy. I know, I realize you're God, and what you say to do is the right thing. You know something? That's why people don't get saved, because they haven't learned you've got to fall down at the feet of Jesus in order to be saved. You'll never get to heaven any other way. You've got to humble yourself at the feet of Jesus. That's the only way you'll ever get into heaven, is to do that. And not only that, but in surrendering. Job made some comments about the Lord when he finally got it right. Isaiah saw him high and lifted up. And I'm telling you, it impacted both of those men. And when we know that Jesus is around and Jesus is in the boat, then, my friend, we ought to worship Him and realize our unworthiness. We are unworthy to serve Jesus Christ tonight. But thank God He will let us do it. Now, the church cannot do the job alone. The church can't do it alone. The Great Commission cannot be carried out without missionaries. And we are in a partnership. There's no way we're going to reach this world unless we have that partnership. And a lot of pastors, not all, but a lot of pastors have this attitude. I'm the boss. I have the money strings. I'm in charge of this church. If you'll bow down to me and do what I want you to do and treat me like royalty, I might give you 7 minutes on a Wednesday night to get up and plug a little bit about your mission. Now, I know we have to keep it going and we have to have more in and all of that. I'm not criticizing when that has to happen, but I'm saying that we sometimes make them second-rate citizens, and what we give to them sometimes, I've seen some mission stores, and what they gave to them was what Salvation Army rejected. and they put it in there. No, they're better than that. They're partners with us in God's service. And I'm telling you, we ought to say, I am glad, glad, glad to support missionaries who are willing to go to the foreign field. Glad, glad to do it. By the way, if you don't like giving, go yourself. Amen? Just go yourself. Now, quickly, they were astonished at what more they could do than they had done. Why don't we get that sometimes? We think we're doing a lot, but a lot of times we can do more. Verse 9 says, for he was astonished. Peter was, and all that were with him. What was he astonished about? At the draught of the fishes which they had taken. They were doing a whole lot more than they thought they could do. And when they moved from the shore, and when they launched out into the deep, and when they by faith dropped their nets, then God showed them as they obeyed what he could do for them. I heard Charles Keene, when he was preaching here one time, make this statement. He said, the blessing button is attached to the obedience button. And that's true. The blessing button is attached to the obedience button. If you want to be blessed by God, then be blessable and obey the Lord. Then when we obey, when we do obey God and do what Jesus says, then he is glorified. Then he is magnified and glorified. And that's what happened in verse 8. He glorified the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Peter had seen many miracles. He had seen a lot of things happen. But here, obviously, he was impressed again. He was impressed at what Jesus was doing right then when he obeyed him and did what Jesus told him to do. And he went out, and as he did it, the Lord Jesus Christ was glorified. And keep in mind this, there were a lot of people out there watching, just like you're watching me tonight. You ought to come up here and see what I see. There are a lot of people out there on the shore watching. What's going to happen? What is he going to do? Is he going to obey him? What's going to happen? And believe you me, that made an impact on them. That made an impact on them, and God was glorified. See, when we obey God, when we do what God tells us to do about living right and about giving right and about going if he calls us to go and about soul winning and doing the things that he wants us to do in the service of the Lord, then, my dear friend, he is glorified, and that's what it's all about, that he be glorified. Let's bow our heads, would you? Maybe some of you tonight need to surrender again in the context of what I've said. Move the boat off the shore. Let Jesus use it. And then move it on out into the deep. Obey God and watch what God does. And launch out into the deep. Sometimes after a missions conference, sometimes when everything is said and done, more is said than done. When everything is said and done, more is said than done. God's calling us to do service, to do something. Launch out in service. Launch out in surrender. That's what happened in verse 11. They surrendered. And now he said, you've got a new job. You've done what I told you to do. I'm calling you to be fishers of men. Dr. Ironside said this. I'm closing out before we pray. He said, who would shrink from such service when commissioned by so wondrous a master? Oh, my. How can we say no to Jesus about anything he asks us to do? And, friend, we need to step out by faith. A faith that can't be tested, that faith cannot be trusted. And if you're here tonight without Jesus Christ, may I tell you what he was telling them that day was, I'm the way, the truth. Nobody's going to get to heaven except by me. And if you're not saved tonight, you need to come by way of the cross, trust Christ as your Savior. Let's stand, please. Every head is bowed, eyes closed. Father, bless now and use this message according to your will. Help us, Lord, to do what you've spoken to our hearts about doing. God, you have need of us, and we want to be used of thee to bring glory to you. there's someone here without Christ, I pray they'd be saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you come? If God's spoken, you come. Launch out into the deep. Move out a little further. Some of you are giving. If you're not here, if you're here without Christ and you're not saved, come and be saved. God wants you to move out. God wants you to do it by faith.
This is my earnest plea for love, oh Christ.
Doesn't mean we're bad people, but God wants good people to go further, to have more vision, to give by faith, to witness by faith, to live by faith, to serve by faith. Would you do it? Is God calling you to the mission field? Don't fight it. Surrender. Come to Him today. Launch out. All these missionaries we've had this week, that's exactly what they had to do. Launch out. Say, okay, God, I'm here. I'm available. How about some of you young couples? Some more of you young people. Is God speaking? Launch out. Come.